It sliced through her like a sword's blade. Tarkin certainly hadn't named that system by chance. He hoped to shake up a young girl who, so far as he knew, he'd already seen easily reduced to tears. His eyes locked with hers as he searched for the telltale slip that would betray her and doom them all. Leia didn't flinch. With the full force of her imagination, she pictured Kier sitting in front of her, imagined it was him she was smiling at, and heard the warmth in her voice as she answered, "May we someday see that perfect peace." For one seemingly eternal instant, nothing changed. And then Tarkin ever so slightly relaxed.
"Hear, hear."
She had to make chit-chat through that entire cup of tea, had to allow him to escort her out of the office, her arm through his, and tell him goodbye. She even made sure to walk at a normal speed for the first while after she left, until she'd taken 3 lifts and 1 skyway back to the senatorial complex. But as soon as she'd entered the inner corridors, Leia broke into a run. She burst into her father's office, startling the staff. "Please tell me Dad is here."
"I'm afraid not, Your Highness,"
said the protocol droid, with a distinct undertone of, "and you should know that."
"Senator Organa's return is still scheduled 6 days hence."
"I need to use his private office. Excuse me." Leia rushed straight in, knowing nobody on her father's staff had the rank to prevent her, even if they'd wanted to. She pulled up the holonet and put in a call to the palace, directly to her mother. As the connection was made, she brought up Mon Mothma on audio only. Mon Mothma answered first.
"Princess Leia?"
"Yes, hold on. I'm getting my mom." Queen Bria shimmered into holographic form in the office, wearing the exercise gear no one but her family would ever see her in. Before her mother could even ask what was happening, Leia blurted out, "The Empire knows about Palkris Major." Her mother blanched so visibly it was clear even via holo. Mon Mothma's voice was sharp.
"How do you know this?"
"I didn't go snooping, I swear."
"It doesn't matter if you did," Bria said.
"How do you know?" "Tarkin called me to his office. Acted like it was this friendly mentoring thing, but he was sounding me out, saying things that suggested I'd inherit the throne soon." Her mother's hand went to her own throat, a sight that seared Leia almost past endurance. "Then he was naming far-off systems like it was random, but he named Palkris. He was looking directly at me. I'm positive he did it to rattle me. There's no way that's a coincidence."
"I'm sure you're right."
Mon Mothma sounded as though she'd aged years in mere seconds.
"We have to send a messenger to warn them. We can't trust droid probes with this, and we hardly know who to trust until we've patched Winmi's leaks."
"I can't leave Alderaan," Bria said. "We're holding a medal ceremony in only a few hours."
"Nobody cares about the medal ceremony," Leia began, before her mother cut her off with a gesture.
"Of course nobody cares about that, sweetheart. But if I suddenly cancel a public event, word will travel back to the Empire. For all we know, they're already prepared to strike. We can't run the risk of tipping them off, or else they'll pounce before we can evacuate."
"I have a meeting with one of the Grand Admirals this evening,"
Mon Mothma said.
"Princess, you must go. Immediately."
As much as she'd hoped to do for this movement, as often as she'd begged to help, Leia hadn't expected to be called on for anything as urgent and serious as this. Yet she understood instantly. A senator or a queen would be missed, an apprentice legislator would not. Leia already had all the information necessary to complete her task, and their trust in her was absolute.
"I'll leave right away," Leia promised. "Is the Polestar on Coruscant?"
"It's here on Alderaan,"
her mother swore, which under other circumstances would have been shocking.
"You'll have to hire a ship. An independent freighter, the type not to ask too many questions."
That sounded intimidating, but Leia nodded. Mon Mothma added,
"As tight as time may be, you should stop somewhere along the way and change ships. We don't want anyone to be able to track your movements directly."
"Got it," Leia promised. "I'll need credits." The funds necessary to hire at least 2 freighters went beyond even the generous stipend she had on Coruscant.
I'll personally bring you an untraceable credit solid,
Mon Mothma said.
Where are you?
Dad's office.
The only goodbye that followed was the click of a voice link deactivating. Leia refocused on her mother, who had sunk into a chair, her hands woven through her loose hair. Bria said only,
I'm not even going to ask how you know about Paukras.
That's probably a good idea, Leia admitted.
You realize that the Empire could be moving in on our base there even now.
Her mother was shaking so much that it was visible even through the blur of the hollow.
You realize the danger you're in? I can't let you go unless I know you understand. Completely.
I understand. Yet she wasn't as afraid as she'd been in Tarkin's office. She'd come to realize that she would never be overwhelmed by fear as long as she had something to do. Leia's mind raced ahead to the journey, the message, to all the details that would carry her onward and keep her from imagining her arrest by the Empire, and the horrors that would surely follow.
I'm all right, Mom. I'm ready.
Yes.
I think you are.
Bria blinked fast. It hit Leia that her mother knew both her husband and her daughter were in imminent danger. And yet there was nothing she could do but perform her duty, wear her crown, and smile. It seemed unbearable. Yet she lifted her hand as though she could touch Leia's face and said,
I love you.
I love you too.
Instantly the hollow went dark. Leia understood why. Extending the conversation would only have tormented her mother. It was better to focus on what had to be done. The apprentice legislature didn't have another session for a few days. She'd turned in her proposals early, as usual, so that deadline didn't matter. Harp had invited her over to watch some Holovids tomorrow, by which time Leia would either be back or in prison.
Kier,
she whispered. He would still be waiting for her in their family's apartments, in suspense. When she snapped open a new holo channel, he appeared in front of her almost instantly. He must have been waiting directly in front of the camera.
I'm all right, she began. But I think Tarkin's onto my parents. I have to go to the Paukra system right away.
Wait, what?
Kier put his hands out as if he could dam the flood of information.
You have to go where?
It doesn't matter.
Really, she shouldn't have burdened him with that information in the first place. But everything was happening so fast.
Leia continued, Just cover for me if anyone asks, okay? Tell them I had to go home on short notice.
Leia, this sounds bad.
She nodded.
It could be. But maybe I'll be in time.
Holding her hand out, much as her mother had, she said,
I'll talk with you soon.
Please let that be true. Kier looked like he wanted to argue, but he also knew when arguing with her would prove useless.
Soon,
he repeated.
Promise?
Promise.
With that, she shut off the hollow, leaving herself alone in unnatural stillness for a few breaths. It was almost long enough for fear to creep in. But then Mon Mothma rushed through the doors, white robe fluttering, more flustered than Leia had ever seen her before.
Credit solid, Mon Mothma said, breathless. Linked to banks so obscure even Palpatine doesn't have their information, and adequate to cover the cost of 10 ships if you need them.
Leia took the gold-striped solid and slipped it into one of the secure pouches at her belt. If 2 ships won't do it, 8 more won't help. It was gallows humor, but it helped her smile. Mon Mothma paused, still winded, obviously searching for wisdom, or at least helpful advice. Then she shook her head, put her hands on Leia's shoulders, and spoke the only words that mattered. May the Force be with you. Chapter 29 Leia had never had to hire her own ship before, but she figured it couldn't be that difficult. What she didn't realize was that she'd never tried to do much of anything without presenting herself as the Crown Princess of Alderaan, and just how much easier it was for a princess to get things done.
A freighter, barked a Lonoran pilot. A little scrap of a thing like you. What are you hauling?
Leia wondered wildly whether she ought to come up with some kind of cargo to bring along. But how could she do that in time? Just me. The Lonerin's fur raised in consternation.
To Pamarth, you said?
Right. It was the first heavily trafficked but remote layover she'd been able to think of. But she'd chosen poorly, because the Lonerin said,
So take a passenger ship and save yourself the credits.
I need to get there as soon as possible.
Passenger ship won't take you half a day longer.
The Lonerin patted her on the head.
Now hurry along, pup.
How old does he think I am? 8? As the Lonerin loped away, Leia glanced around the busy spaceport in search of another freighter that looked small enough to be of use to her. Hiring one sounded so easy, but in practice, getting a ship to take off within a brief time span, without questions, could be a challenge. 3 pilots had turned her down so far. She'd also hurried after one YT model ship that had looked promisingly run down, and probably in need of money for repairs, but it took off before she could even reach it. Spotting another ungainly, patched-together ship across the hangar, Leia headed toward it. As she pushed through the crowd, ducking around a group of Arconas and an enormous, scowling Krolute, she tried to come up with a better cover story. I'm eloping, and my parents are after me. No, because someone would sensibly ask why she was eloping all alone. My grandmother on Pamarth is incredibly sick, and I need to get to her right away. That might do. Leia ran up to the ship, then stopped short when she saw not one but 2 people she knew standing in front of it, arguing.
Excuse me, Chasselin Stevis said. But if I don't get to the auction on Arcanus in time, someone's going to snap that speeder up. Do you know how rarely this model comes available?
Rarity is an illusion, because every person and object in the galaxy is in some way unique.
Emmeline Holdo, her hair still brilliantly colored, but her clothing a simple traveling coverall, smiled benevolently at him.
Anyway, I'm signed up for the meditation retreat at home, and it's starting tomorrow.
Chasselin's hand stiffened, as if he wanted to physically shake sense into Emmeline.
You could take a passenger ship!
For her part, Emmeline folded her long arms across her chest and dug in.
I could, if I hadn't already hired the Moa, which I have. Oh, hi, Leia.
Leia blurted out, I need this ship.
Oh, come on.
Chasselin stared skyward, perhaps asking for help from gods who didn't answer.
You're a bloody princess. You can get whatever ship you want.
But Emmeline had seen something in Leia that she recognized, maybe from their journey to Okahunt. She brought her hands together, closed her eyes, and said,
All right.
Chasselin's eyes widened with anger. Leia didn't entirely blame him. But then he, too, seemed to glimpse the genuine fear and need she felt. He took a deep breath, adjusted the collar of his violet jacket, and spoke with better grace than she'd known he had.
Fine, then. Take the ship.
Leia was taking a risk even saying this much, but she had to. Chasselin, please, don't tell anyone you saw me. Although he clearly didn't understand why she was asking, he must have known it was important. His voice was solemn as he said,
Not a word, not a soul.
With that, he walked off, never glancing back.
Sometimes people surprise you, Emmeline said. By the way, this trip that has to happen in such a hurry, are we talking about things we don't talk about?
It took Leia a second to parse that.
Yeah, we are, and I have to go.
You mean we have to go?
When Leia stared at her, Emmeline shrugged.
I did hire the ship. Plus, I already know all the stuff I can't know.
I'm definitely getting better at translating Holdo speak, Leia thought. Because that made complete sense to me. Leia wanted to protest that Emmeline didn't know everything, and for her own good, shouldn't. But in truth, what Emmeline had already learned was undoubtedly more than enough to destroy her if the Empire found them out. The best way to keep the Empire from finding them out was to leave immediately, without any further arguing. There were other advantages, too. It might be better if the ship were hired in your name, Leia admitted.
So let's go.
Emmeline pulled Leia up the gangway.
Where are we going, by the way?
Pomarth again. Emmeline smiled as easily as if they were on a pleasure cruise and called,
Brill? Slight change of destination. As in, we're headed to a completely different planet.
Leia had wished to see one of the famous storms of Pomarth. Of all her wishes, the Force picked that one to come true, and at the worst possible time. The Moa set them down in the middle of storms, both terrestrial and celestial. While the sea around their port island churned black beneath a darkening sky, the auroras flared pink and green overhead, testifying to solar storms that would disrupt many ships' sensors. Why did it have to be Pomarth? Leia asked herself as she and Emmeline disembarked from their freighter, its Ithorian crew member waving goodbye as the Moa drew its ramp up again. I could have chosen any planet in the galaxy, and I had to pick the one that's about to shut down all space traffic. Even Emmeline's daffy good spirits wilted at the sight of it.
Normally being moored here would be frightening in a good way. But right now it's frightening in a bad way, isn't it?
The worst. Leia kept imagining her father's face, which shifted in her mind from moment to moment. First she'd see him warm and loving, as he'd been when they spoke in the library. But then she'd recall his fury at their last meeting. Would that be her final memory of her father? Please, not that. Let me have one more chance to make things right with him. They say the Pomarth pilots aren't scared of anything. Let's hope that's true. Unfortunately, it turned out that Pomarthans were afraid of exactly one thing, losing their beloved ships. After the first three refusals, Leia wanted to hurl herself down and have a tantrum on the ground like a child. She took a few deep breaths, trying to channel her anger in better directions, and then heard Emmeline say,
What about those giant hairy frog guys?
Turning in the direction of Emmeline's pointing finger, she saw a squat group of creatures waddling into their low, flat ship, and gasped with a new hope. The Chalhuddins!
Who?
I'll explain later. For now, let me do the talking. Leia dashed toward the Chalhuddin vessel, a wide smile on her face. But when they noticed her approach, it was obvious these Chalhuddins had no idea who she was, because they scowled, shuffled, and averted their gazes. No doubt she didn't look that impressive, a wild-eyed teenage girl in nondescript clothing. Tuvi's admonishments rung in her memory.
A princess is known in part through the grandeur of her attire.
Points to Tuvi, Leia muttered. As she and Emmeline came up to them, the largest of the Chalhuddins pointedly turned his back.
We need no Drylander assistance,
they mumbled.
And we give none.
Emmeline piped up.
It's paying work. Well-paying work. She's a princess.
Her face fell as she took in Leia's disheveled appearance. And feebly, she added,
Really?
This wasn't the way to impress the Chalhuddins, who only harumphed and turned aside. Leia stepped into the center of their group, lifted her chin, and demanded,
You'll put me in contact with Ako Quento immediately.
They stared at her. One of them scoffed, a gruff and discouraging sound. But the others exchanged uncertain glances. The mere fact that she knew their leader's name had probably startled them into paying attention.
You heard me,
Leia continued, with all the regal chill she could muster, which was a lot.
Now!
Within a few minutes, she sat within the humid Chalhuddin ship, wiping sweat from her brow, as the sepia-tinted hollow flickered to life.
You are the princess,
Ako said, which was their version of a pleasant hello.
Yes, I am.
She kept her face impassive and her tone demanding.
You owe me a favor, Ako Quento, and you will repay it today.
The large air sac beneath Akko's chin puffed up, then deflated again.
This favor is old. What do you demand?
Immediate passage to Paukris Major for myself and one companion.
Ako nodded.
Then it shall be so.
Without any further order or persuasion, the Chalhuddins began waddling off to make ready for the journey. As badly as Leia needed this, however, she knew it would be unfair not to say more.
Honored leader, you must hear more of the truth behind the journey.
Akko's enormous, wide-lipped mouth pursed in a frown.
The favor was asked. The favor will be given.
Your favor will be far greater than mine, Leia said. And more dangerous. It's unfair to your people for me to hold you to this without explaining more.
What explanation can come between the Chalhadans and their old duty?
Akko shifted from flipper to flipper, restless with distrust of land creatures.
You dishonor us by doubting us.
Leia bowed her head more humbly than she would have to the Emperor himself, and shifted into formal speech.
You doubt me, honored leader, by not hearing what I say.
One deep, exasperated croak, and then Akko said,
We will hear.
By traveling to this system, your brave pilots put their lives in danger. The Imperial Starfleet will soon travel to Palkris Major with the goal of eradicating everyone they find. The people there are my people, and I must save them even if it means my life. Yet I cannot transfer that responsibility onto your people without letting them, and you, know precisely what they face. Now it is known.
Akko Kuento blinked their protruding eyes, and the air sac inflated thoughtfully. Leia wondered if she'd just been so honorable she'd lost a ship. Maybe even a war. Then Akko said,
The greater the favor asked, the greater the honor. This ship will take you to the Palkris system, where you will be met by all other Chalhadan ships in the sector. No more than 4 or 5 can we offer, but you will be transported and guarded to the best of our ability.
That is more than recompense for my favor, Akko Kuento.
Leia folded her hands above her heart, hoping the Chalhadan circulatory organ was located somewhere analogous.
Afterward, I will again be in your debt.
And so we will ask another favor of you someday.
Akko's broad face creased in an expression that she thought might be their version of a smile.
Now you understand us.
As the hollow blinked out, Emmeline said,
I hoped for some experience with the nearness of mortality, but I have to say I'm getting quite a lot of it.
Leia turned to her, ready to suggest Emmeline stay behind here with Mon Mothma's credit solid. But her friend was grinning.
This is fantastic!
Chalhadan ships were armed, not heavily, but still. She'd managed to put together her own tiny war fleet. As pleased as she wanted to be with that, when she imagined them facing an Imperial Star Destroyer, Leia shuddered. Let the Force guide us there first, she thought. Hang on, Dad. I'm coming.
Chapter 30 Palkris system in 3, said the Chalhadan pilot, squatting in their bowl-shaped chair.
Leia and Emmeline, who had in the past hour learned a lot about the greater tolerance Chalhadans had for shockwaves, immediately clambered up into the jump seat and strapped themselves into a safety harness. If the two of them shared a harness and pulled its straps as tight as possible, it more or less worked. Emmeline blew aside a purple lock of her hair that had tumbled into her face, so that she could meet Leia's eyes. There was no hint of her usual whimsy as she said,
What do we do if the Empire's already here?
Get out before they see us, if we can.
The chances weren't good, but they weren't impossible. Leia doubted a droid could have gone over the odds more times than she had during this trip.
If not, we surrender right away. We plead ignorance, and we make it absolutely clear that we hire the Chalhadans, who know even less than we do.
She didn't think it would save the Chalhadans, but again, it was a chance. If they had even one chance in 1,000 to make it through this, she owed them that.
Plead ignorance, Emmeline repeated. Right. I think I could be good at that.
For our sakes, I hope so.
Leia wasn't optimistic. She figured whatever doubt she was able to instill in her questioners' minds would vanish the instant Grand Moff Tarkin learned of her arrival in the very star system he'd named to her only hours before. Neither Emmeline Holdo nor the Chalhattans would be able to explain this away. Either I'm saving the lives of all the rebels in the Palkra system, or I've just condemned even more people to die. When the Chalhattan pilot pulled a lever, the vivid blue light of hyperspace changed back into a starfield. The entire ship shuddered so strongly Leia accidentally bit her tongue hard enough to bleed. Emmeline's head knocked against hers so soundly it hurt, but she wasn't too dazed to keep staring at the viewscreen, eyes wide, torn between hope and dread.
A fleet of planetary and civilian ships massed around repair structures orbiting Palkras Major,
croaked the Chalhattan captain.
Our own ships nearby. No Imperial vessels in the system.
Thank the Force. Leia slumped against Emmeline and exhaled hard. On screen, amid the distant cluster of ships, she could make out the distinct lines of the Tantive IV, which had rarely looked so beautiful to her. Emmeline held one fist up in the air in a victory salute. Don't celebrate too soon. Leia released the safety harness, hopped down from the tall bowl chair, and hurried to the communications console. At her nod, the officer there opened a channel, and she said, "To any vessels picking up this signal, this is Leia Organa of Alderaan, calling Bail Organa, or any other individual in charge of... anyone in charge. Repeat, this is Princess Leia Organa of Alderaan. Please respond." No answer came. Emmeline said, "Should we fly closer?" "We'd better not. They may have standing orders to shoot down any unauthorized intruder." Leia remembered her father's warning on Crait very well. The seconds crawled by until her gut had begun to tighten, and then static broke through.
"Leia!"
She'd never been so glad to hear her father sound absolutely furious.
"What are you doing?"
"The Empire's coming," she said. "Something Tarkin said about this system tipped me off. Mom and Mon Mothma sent me. The ships may already be on their way, and you have to get the fleet out of here immediately." Luckily, Bail Organa was a man who knew when a conversation could wait until later.
"We're moving out in 10. Rendezvous with us on the Tantive IV.
Once the Chalhattan ships had taken their place among the rebel ships, each of which was being hastily restored to power and crewed with minimal personnel or droids, Leia's vessel was able to dock with the Tantive IV and allow her to disembark. She expected to feel more relief once she was in familiar surroundings, but they were more familiar than she'd anticipated.
"Hey there," Rez Batten said, a rueful smile on her face.
"In case you were wondering, no, I wasn't putting you on the whole time. Captain Antilles brought me into the loop not long ago, in the nick of time for some mortal danger, huh?"
"Lucky you," said Emmeline from a few paces behind, where she was wandering along, gazing at the plain white walls of the ship as though they were miraculous.
Batten frowned in consternation, but there was no time to explain these two to each other, because at the far end of the corridor, separated from her by a few crew members and droids dashing around, stood a tall, familiar figure in a blue jacket and cape. Her father, alive and whole, as she'd thought she might never see him again. He caught sight of her at the same instant.
"Leia!"
To hell with royal protocol. She ran to him and flung herself into his arms. He hugged her so tightly her toes lifted from the floor for a moment, the way he had when she was a little girl.
"I didn't know if we'd make it in time," she said.
Her face pressed against his jacket muffled her words, but she wouldn't pull back or let go. Her father could hear her, and that was enough.
"I thought we might find you dead."
"But for you, that might have happened."
Bail Organa's broad hand cupped her cheek, turning her face up to his.
"Instead, we're going to save this fleet."
"Did I finally prove myself to you?"
"Leia, no. You never had to do that. I've always believed in you, and I always will. If I made you doubt that these past few months, please forgive me."
The depth of the remorse she heard in his voice made her throat so tight she couldn't speak. Bail leaned closer and spoke even more intently.
"Out of all the many reasons we have to fight, to your mother and me,
You have always been the most important one. We want to make a better galaxy for you, a better future. So it's been hard, realizing that you have to fight too. That we can't simply save you, that you have to stand by our side.
She nodded. I understand. I always did, really. It's okay.
I wouldn't let myself accept that you were ready for this.
His smile was crooked but proud.
There's no denying that any longer.
Leia hugged her father again, grateful that at last they were partners again, that no other division could come between them.
The embrace went on for as much time as they could spare.
When Bail released her, he had again focused on the military operation underway. The difference was that he included Leia in his planning.
We'll be breaking up this portion of the fleet for the time being, until we can arrange a rendezvous at an alternate outpost. Self-destruct sequences were programmed into the repair stations from the start. We'll activate those before the final convoy departs.
Portion of the fleet? How many other ships were there? And where were they? But Leia could ask all those questions later.
Do you have a shuttle or hopper Amelin and I can fly back to Coruscant?
Leia had been considering this during the docking procedure with the Tantive IV. I don't want anybody to link the Chalhattans to us. Her father's smile was equal parts amused and impressed.
I spoke with their captain. You've made your first diplomatic alliance, and negotiated an armed convoy at that.
Then he paused.
Wait. Amelin?
Hi there!
Amelin was doing some sort of elaborate acrobatic stretching farther down the corridor. Maybe to allow father and daughter some privacy. Maybe just for fun. Amelin Holdo from Gatalenta, Leia explained. She's a friend of mine from the Apprentice Legislature, with a knack for being in the right place at the right time.
Those are the best kind of friends to have.
Bail lifted one hand in a wave before turning his attention back to his daughter.
We have a hopper for the two of you. It should look like a civilian craft, and it's small enough that you can pilot it on your own.
Although Leia wasn't an expert pilot, she could manage.
All right. After I drop Amelin off at Coruscant, I'd like to come back to Alderaan for a few days. Unless you'll be on Coruscant too.
You never need permission to return to Alderaan, her father said gently. And after this, I think we could use some time at home together as a family.
These past many months, Leia had wished and hoped that things between her and her parents would go back to the way they used to be. Finally, she understood that would never happen, because neither she nor her parents were the people they'd been before. They had to grow into the family they would become, one united to face the challenges ahead. Home, she repeated. I'd like that.
I would have thought royal vehicles were more, well, regal.
Amelin peered around the tiny gray mesh interior of the hopper, more curious than disappointed. Her brilliant hair constituted most of the color in the room. Leia slipped into the pilot seat and acquainted herself with the controls. Data on a screen informed her 59 ships were in the vicinity, ranging in size from that medical frigate to a few tiny single-pilot vessels. With a few taps, she was able to highlight the Chalhattan ships. She didn't intend to leave this system until they were all safely away.
Laying in our course to... Returning directly to Coruscant might be risky. To Baltazar.
Mirrors bend light, Amelin said.
Leia nodded, understanding her friend's acknowledgement of the need to break up their course before she recognized the odd metaphor. She sighed as she thought, I'm learning to speak fluent Holdo. On the viewscreen, Leia could easily pick out the Tantive IV, leaving orbit with the other vessels. Distant as it was, its shape was as familiar to her as any other part of her home. Ships around it began to disappear, with the illusory stretch and pop that marked a jump into hyperspace. One by one, the sky around Palkris Major darkened as the brighter ships disappeared. Her father took the Tantive IV out near the very end, as she'd known he would. Amelin leaned over the data screen.
Only 42 ships remaining. Now 18. 7. 2.
After a long pause, she repeated,
2. We're still at 2.
To Leia's dismay, one of the remaining ships was a Chalhutan vessel, still far too close to the repair stations. It wouldn't be long before the self-destruct sequences activated, blowing themselves and everything in the immediate vicinity to shreds. Are they damaged? Do we need to tow them out? Can we? But then the lights on the Chalhutan's engines glowed brighter, and it too fled into hyperspace. Relief washed over Leia, leaving her almost limp.
Now we have 1, Emmeline said.
Right, so we get out of here.
That's 1 not counting us.
Emmeline's hand trembled as she brought the image into hollow form. A standard, nondescript cutter. The kind of thing that could be rented at any hangar in the galaxy. It wasn't flying away from the stations. It was flying toward one. Leia's fingers tightened around her armrests. That ship wasn't here when we arrived in this system, was it? Emmeline shook her head. Staying. Pulling herself together, Leia began running through the possibilities. The cutter wasn't an Imperial ship. Whoever piloted it wasn't an Imperial spy either, or else they would have taken off with the others to report their findings. And even the swift glimpse they could have seen of the rebel ships was more than enough to report. A bounty hunter? Thinking to turn informant? But how would a bounty hunter know about the Palkra system? How would anyone? Leia's stomach dropped. The shuttle seemed to spin on every axis at once. She hit the communications, sending a signal to the cutter and to the person she knew had to be inside. Kier? Chapter 31. Despite what she already knew had to be true, it hurt to recognize Kier's voice.
Leia? Thank the Force I found you.
He sounded so relieved. Even grateful.
It sounded like you were in...
Kier, you have to get away from that station now. It's going to blow.
What are you...
If he'd hit the controls and accelerated that instant without hesitation, the cruiser might have made it out of range. If he'd flown in closer and faster to start with, he would never have had a chance. When the blast exploded outward, ripping the station into a wave of fire and shattered steel, Kier's cutter was instead violently thrown outward. Emmeline screamed, but Leia lacked even the breath. She could only stare in horror, not knowing whether she'd just watched him die. Their hopper shuddered as smaller pieces of debris thumped the hull. Through the metallic shards blanketing the starfield on their screen, she could make out the shape of Kier's cutter. The engines didn't glow. There was no sign of power. No way to tell how much damage had been done. An unfamiliar stillness claimed her. When her fear or despair reached its absolute height, her mind turned crystalline. Hard. Set. Focused. Straight. Her emotions remained, but encased in a structure that would not yield. The Empire's on its way. She spoke to Emmeline as steadily as she'd spoken to her parents on her day of demand. It was as if she already knew the words. They could be here any second. I have to try to help Kier. But if you want to dock with his ship and leave us, do it. Maybe I can get his engines back online.
Maybe?
There was no point in responding to that. Leia would accomplish that, or she wouldn't. What mattered was protecting everyone she could. You don't have to take this risk. I do. Emmeline trembled from shock, but she shook her head.
Don't be an ass! I'm not leaving either of you!
Then let's do this. Leia's hands went to the controls. The hopper shot forward. She adjusted their course so that Kier's cutter, dark, rolling over and over, badly dented, remained at the center of their viewscreen, larger every moment. Luckily, both hopper and cutter were such basic workhorse models that auto-dock compatibility was built in. Although Kier's cutter remained unresponsive, the hopper was able to link them and pump in localized power. Leia's craft shook as the locks joined, and a warning light began to blink. The cutter's artificial gravity was inoperable. to keep its entire contents from rushing into the hopper the instant the doors opened. She immediately shut off their own gravity, hooking one leg around the base of her seat to keep her more or less in place. Then they were unmoored, weightless. Amelin's hair rose around her head in a multicolored cloud. She stared at Leia as if unable to understand how she could be so quiet and calm. Leia didn't understand it herself. The lock door slid open, and Leia pushed herself upward, soaring into the cutter, or what remained of it. Every control had gone black, the only illumination filtered in through the hopper. Bits of metal spun in midair, and floating beads of water glinted as they caught the light. A droplet hit her cheek, but it was warm. Not water. Blood. In the center of the dark, she saw the dim outline of Kier's body, his arms outstretched, floating, loose. Her momentum brought her closer until she had to put one hand onto the ceiling to prevent colliding with him. He was near enough for her to draw him into her embrace. When she felt his heartbeat against her hand, relief flooded through her. "Kier, can you hear me?" The dim shaft of light from below briefly illuminated his face as his eyes fluttered open.
"Leia?"
"I've got you. We'll take you back to Alderaan. Find a doctor." On Alderaan, her parents could ensure he received top care in secret, a guarantee they wouldn't find on Coruscant.
You were scared. In trouble."
Kier's expression remained blank. He'd recognized her, but he didn't seem to have registered anything she said.
"Followed you."
Remorse pierced Leia through so sharply she wanted to cry out, but she forced herself back into focus, made herself crystalline. "I'm all right. It's all right now. You came for me and I'm safe. Can you hang on to me? Brace yourself against me?" Kier coughed, and the only thing worse than the sound of it was the terrible spasm of pain on his face. Hoarsely, he said,
"Memory rod."
Consternation dissolved swiftly into her understanding that the memory rod had to be vitally important. Leia peered through the darkness until she saw it. A specialized scanner/mass memory storage device. Cylindrical and gold. Cradling Kier against her with one hand, she snagged the rod with another. "It's right here. I've got it. You don't have to worry."
"Promise. Turn it in."
He coughed again, more weakly.
"Protect them if you... But... Alderaan. For Alderaan."
He'd heard the planning in the banquet hall. Knew about what had happened on Nonoam. About the medical frigate. About the entire alliance of leaders ready to stand against Palpatine. As soon as he arrived in the system and saw the ship's mast here for repair, Kier had known exactly what it meant. Once the fleet had begun to flee, he'd brought his cruiser near the stations to collect more data. He'd recorded it all so he could turn the rebels in. Kier loved Alderaan more than he hated the Empire. If he had to choose between the rest of the galaxy and his home, he chose his home. It was a choice Leia would never make, but she understood it.
"Leia,"
he whispered, struggling for breath.
"Promise."
She smiled at him tenderly, caressed the side of his face, and lied. "I promise." With a sigh, he relaxed into her embrace. His muscles went slack. Leia kept holding him next to her as his breaths became shallower and his heartbeat slowed. It was so slow, so gradual, that she couldn't tell the exact moment when he died. For what felt like many minutes afterwards, she hung on to him, wanting to stay as long as she could in the last place they had ever been together. But the Empire was coming, and Leia had other lives to save. She let the memory rod float from her hand, then pushed off with Kier's body in her arms. Light grew brighter around them until they drifted back into the hopper. A few pieces of debris from the damaged cutter had made their way into the air too, but nothing they'd have to clear. Amelin had used the belt from her coverall to tie herself to her seat,
and she'd flipped the collar up so she could hold it against her eyes. For an instant, Leia thought it was just more oddness. But then she realized Emmeline was crying, and trying to absorb her tears with the collar so the droplets wouldn't float away. Hitting the airlock closed the link between the ship. Emmeline turned the gravity back on. Although Leia had been holding Kier as best she could, the sudden return of weight toppled her, and his body crumpled to the floor with a heavy thud. That sound was so final. So dead. The crystal shattered. All the grief Leia felt, all the fear and anger and everything else she'd kept bottled up or used for fuel, she couldn't hold on to any of it any longer. She burst into sobs, crumpling on the floor by Kier's side. Leia had spent the past few months trying to prove she was an adult. But she wasn't this grown up yet. She wasn't this hard or this tough. When she broke down, she fell apart, completely, as she hadn't since she was a child, and rarely would again. Bending low, she let her forehead rest against Kier's chest, trying to remember the sound of his heartbeat, as though that would bring it back. Emmeline said nothing, only took the controls, fired the engines, and took them farther from the wreckage to ensure their space was clear. Leia imagined the station's wreckage tumbling into the atmosphere of Palkris Major, glowing with heat as it burned on re-entry. Kier's ship would be caught in the planet's gravity, too. And the evidence he'd given his life for would disintegrate into atoms, lost forever. Leia cried through their entire hyperspace journey, terrible, racking sobs that made it feel as though the tears were being wrung out of her. When the hopper dropped out of hyperspace, she tried to pull herself together, only to fall apart when she heard the familiar chime of Alderaan's welcome beacons. Emmeline had known that both Leia and Kier needed to come home. "I'll have to lie to his parents." Leia shut her eyes tightly, as though she could block out this part of her certain future. "We'll come up with some story that explains his death. At least I can tell them that he died trying to save me. I can give them that much truth." Someday that would be a comfort. For now, it shattered her all over again. The comm sounded, startling Leia into looking up. From her place on the floor, she could see the face of an Imperial captain, mustachioed and stern. The intensity of her fear, combined with her grief, was enough to nauseate her. "They were waiting for us here the whole time." Apparently the captain could only see Emmeline, who sat directly opposite the screen.
"Unidentified vessel. Please report your..."
"This is Hopper 402-411LN, and you can call me Lynn."
The widest, daffiest grin Leia had ever seen on Emmeline's face appeared, as though nothing was wrong or ever could be.
"Hey!"
Understandably nonplussed, the captain needed a moment to answer.
"Your vessel ionization level suggests travel to a system under investigation."
Emmeline nodded, slow and easy, twirling a lock of her vibrant hair around one finger.
"I just got back from the Shili system. Are you guys investigating that planet too? Because I thought it was amazing."
Shili was a planet not so different from Palkris Major. Its star had very nearly the same size, the same properties. The ionization levels would therefore be almost identical. Leia didn't think she could have called such a similar system to mind if she'd been given an hour to think about it. Emmeline had done it instantly. The captain exchanged glances with a junior officer standing a step beside and behind him.
"You were investigating?"
"Yeah, because I'm into comparing the different astrological systems around the galaxy."
Emmeline kept her voice even more monotone than usual, and tilted her head at an almost silly angle.
"Like whether the same stars give some of the same characteristics to people on entirely different worlds. Are you from Coruscant?"
His accent had already revealed that much.
"My origin isn't relevant. Now, young lady..."
"See? I thought you were from Coruscant. What's your sign?"
"I've no idea. Such superstitions..."
"I'd bet anything you're a Genry on Coruscant. Which means on Shelly you'd be an I. And on both of those worlds, that formation of blue dwarfs nearby, it gives the people born under that sign wisdom, charisma, and...
Emmeline ducked her head flirtatiously.
Exceptional virility.
A short laugh from the junior officer turned into a cough just in time to ward off the worst of the captain's glare. When the captain turned back to the viewer, he irritably waved her off.
You're clear to go.
You don't want to chat?
Emmeline kept the innocent look on her face until the view screen went dark. Leia's throat hurt so much from crying she could barely get the words out.
The astrology, she said hoarsely. That's how you knew which star system to pick to cover our tracks. Astrology.
Everything is written in the stars.
Emmeline took Leia's hand, a simple gesture of comfort, but one that sealed them together as friends for a lifetime. She didn't let go until she said,
Let's take you both home.
Chapter 32. When Leia was very tiny, her parents had sometimes brought her up into their enormous bed, allowing her to snuggle between them as she fell asleep. Upon receiving her own big girl bed at age 4, she had declared herself too old to sleep with her parents, a rule she'd held to resolutely. Except, of course, when she was sick, or that time she watched a scary hollow about undead Gundarks. Her memories of those evenings with her parents had become misty and indistinct over time, as much something she knew had happened as something she remembered happening. Until the night after Kier's death, when she crawled back into that bed, curled into a fetal position, and felt as if she'd never move again.
Do you think you could eat something?
Bria sat beside her, rubbing her daughter's back. Or at least drink some water or tea. Leia wanted to shut down, to give in to the treacherous misery weighing down her limbs. But she didn't have the right to do that. She had to keep going. Food felt impossible. Nausea still gripped her, but she whispered,
Maybe tea.
From the corner of her eye, she glimpsed her mother's hurried gesture to a servitor droid, which trundled off to the kitchens. A soft thump and a few apologetic beeps testified to a collision in the hallway, and only an instant later, Bail re-entered the bedroom. Her father's haggard face would have shocked Leia if she hadn't been sure she looked much the same.
I spoke to the Demodis.
His breath caught in his throat before he shook his head and began pulling off his long coat.
To put two people through such pain.
Quietly, Bria said, Bail, please. One of her hands covered Leia's shoulder. Her father caught himself.
I told them there was a small craft accident in the upper atmosphere, and that he sacrificed himself for Leia. The droids had worked out a more detailed scenario we could use if they'd asked more questions, but they didn't need it. Didn't want it.
After a moment, he added, more hoarsely,
I told them that we are forever in their debt, and that Kier Demodi would be recognized as a hero not only by our family, but by all of Alderaan.
Would their dead son's heroism comfort the Demodis? Leia couldn't imagine anything making this hurt less, for them or for anyone. And no matter how bravely Kier had rushed to help her, she couldn't forget what would have happened if he'd lived.
He would have reported the rebellion.
She told her parents that much in her first moments back on Alderaan, but she'd been too upset to reveal more than the bare facts. Neither of them had brought up the subject since.
He wanted to cover for our family if he could. He didn't understand how impossible that was. But still, he would have done it.
Bail sat on the edge of the bed, clearly weighing his answer. Bria brushed her fingers through the loose strands of Leia's hair that had fallen from her messy braids, the way she had sometimes soothed her daughter when she was a child. Leia sat there, her body too heavy with grief to rise, staring up at the centuries-old mural painted on the ceiling, where old-fashioned spaceships soared toward the sun. Finally, Bail said,
Kier did what he thought was right, despite incredible risk. Under Palpatine's rule, very few people have the courage to live that way, but he did. He acted selflessly, out of love. We may make mistakes when we let our hearts guide us. Terrible mistakes. But I think we are never wholly wrong.
Leia didn't know if she agreed. She was weary in heart and mind. Too tired to question herself. Too tired to hold up her heavy head. Laying herself back down on the broad bed, she wondered when she'd be ready to get up. But she would. When Leia rose from this, she intended to assume her rightful place alongside her parents as they struggled to free the galaxy. She'd lie here until she regained her strength. And then, she swore, she'd be ready to fight.
Kyr's memorial service on Alderaan was simple, short, and heartfelt. He'd been given full honors, scarcely short of what a war hero would have received, and his parents had unexpectedly accepted their queen's offer of a place in the royal cemetery.
"It overlooks the palace,"
Mrs. Damati had said. She had her son's dark eyes and sharp chin.
"And the river that flows to Aldera. Kyr loved this world. He'd want a rest at its heart.
He wanted to study history, you know. This way he's with his heroes forever."
Mr. Damati's voice sounded so like Kyr's that Leia had to struggle not to cry just hearing it. He smiled directly at her as he said,
"I think he'd want to be near the palace for other reasons, too."
His words wrenched her heart, but Leia had gotten through it, with her parents by her side. She'd had days to recuperate in the palace, and endless droids and staffers eager to help in any way they could. Before Kyr's burial, she had taken a lock of his dark hair and had found comfort in putting it inside her keepsake chest. She thought she was beginning to heal. Then she returned to Coruscant, walked into the Organa family apartments, half expecting to see him sitting on the low couch where they'd hung out together. Traveling along pathways they'd taken to and from the senatorial complex, sitting in the Alderaan pod of the apprentice legislature alone. Her friends all tried to help her in their way, but being around them only reminded her more sharply of Kyr's absence. The one person Leia could bear to spend time with was Emmeline, who took her skyfaring nearly every day. The struggle to stay aloft in the scarves pushed everything else from her mind and allowed her to exist only in her body, in the now. On her fourth day back, she went to her father's offices to go over some proposals, only to discover his last meeting was running long. She took a seat at his desk, dreading the expanse of time ahead of her. Even if it lasted only minutes, those were minutes grief could strike. Then the holonet signal blinked. Leia, used to taking messages for her father, answered, only to see the stark, pale image of Grand Moff Tarkin appear, hovering above the floor like a ghost.
"Princess Leia!"
He gave her his bloodless smile. Smiling back was utterly beyond her, but she managed a pleasant nod.
"Good day, Governor. I'm afraid my father isn't in." "I wasn't calling for your father. I was calling for you."
He would only have called her at this office if he'd had someone watching her, noting her movements. That troubled her less than the fact that he wanted her to know it. As cautiously as she would have approached a feral creature, she straightened in her seat and folded her hands in her lap. "To what do I owe the honor?"
"First, I wish to offer my condolences on the death of your fellow apprentice legislator, a Mr. Damati, I believe his name was. I understand he was a promising young man."
Tarkin had to suspect the true conditions of Kyr's death, coming as it did just before the Empire's unsuccessful raid on Palkris Major. The hazy version of events given in the official report had been sufficient to convince most people, but not Imperial agents. These condolences were his way of twisting the knife.
"Kyr was one of the best of us," Leia said smoothly.
"Thank you for your kind words. I'll pass them along to the family, if you wish."
"Please do."
Tarkin turned his head to study her from a different angle.
"Given our conversation a few days ago, I also wish to inquire as to whether you are well. Though, of course you are. I found you to be a young woman of great... composure."
Translation,
I know you lied to me. I know you lie very well. I know you're a part of whatever your parents are plotting, and I know you're the reason the ships at Palkris Major got away. She met his eyes with ease, never glancing away.
I'm quite well, Governor. Believe me when I say I fully appreciate your concern.
The office door slid open to admit her father. 2 steps in, Bale saw the spectral flicker of Tarkin's Hollow, and quickly moved into Hollow range.
Governor Tarkin, how can I help you?
No further help is required. Your daughter has answered all my questions.
Tarkin sharpened his smile for her father.
She's become a charming young lady.
The pride on her father's face at that moment comforted Leia more than almost anything else had.
Yes, we are tremendously proud of her. Thank you so much for your call. But if you'll excuse us, we have work to do.
Tarkin's end of the call blinked out with no further goodbyes. Leia found she could breathe again.
He's watching us, she said.
He always will be.
Bale's broad hand squeezed her shoulder.
But there are ways to use his surveillance against him. Imperial agents tend to follow standard protocols, which means we have opportunities to show them what we want them to see. Give them information that leads to false conclusions. The trick is keeping ourselves protected, while still making them believe they're getting usable intel.
The possibilities expanded within Leia's mind, collided and combined, taking on levels of complexity she'd never guessed at before. But they made instinctive sense. It was as though her father had begun speaking to her in a language she hadn't heard in years, but had known since birth. Will you teach me? Bale betrayed no sadness at seeing her plunge more deeply into the fight. Only pride.
This was lesson one.
The apprentice legislature session ended shortly afterward, and Leia returned home. She might have dreaded the thought of empty hours when either grief or fear could hound her, but she had important tasks to accomplish, and a challenge to fulfill. The sun had reached its zenith just as she pulled herself up from her foothold to stagger onto the rock plateau. Sweating and panting, Leia blinked at the glare, vivid even through her protective goggles, until she'd fully taken in the view from the top of Appenza Peak. Smaller mountains and hills surrounded her, spiky and sharp. But beyond them, in the far distance, she could make out the green slope of gentle country. The vast royal palace, which in her childhood had seemed like a world unto itself, was too small to be more than a glint on the horizon. We ought to have stood here together, Kier. You should have been with me. At least she hadn't had to make the climb alone. The scrape of boots on rock prompted her to turn. Bria pulled herself onto the summit, even sweatier and more flushed than Leia herself. Her Alderaanian subjects might have been startled to see their queen like this, wearing military-issue all-terrain gear, dusty and disheveled, but aglow with satisfaction. To Leia, this was her mother at her most essential.
It's even more beautiful than I remembered.
Bria wiped her forehead with the back of her hand before going for her water bottle.
I should have done this again long ago. Or maybe not. Maybe it's best I'm here with you.
The next question had waited with Leia for years. But the time had finally come to ask.
Where did it happen?
We passed it some way back. Not that I know the spot exactly. It's something of a blur, as you can imagine.
But it was far up enough that they granted you the summit. Said you passed your challenge.
This earned her a raised eyebrow from her mother.
Granted me the summit? Oh no, indeed. I made this ascent fair and clear.
What nobody tells you is that descents are even harder. All these years later, Alderaanians still spoke of the accident in hushed tones. It was the moment the monarchy nearly ended without an heir. The day when a beloved princess, even more beloved than Leia herself, as Leia well knew, had nearly died. Her mother had fallen while completing her challenge of the body. The resulting injuries could have claimed her life. She'd been saved through quick action by the guards observing at a distance, but some of the damage had been permanent.
It was after the accident that Bria's heart and lungs had been replaced by the pulmonodes that still glowed faintly in her chest. And it was due to the accident that her parents had elected to adopt a child, rather than strain Bria's body further. Without that one terrible incident, Leia's life might have been very different. Sitting cross-legged on the ground, Bria studied her daughter as she spoke. "We look at our challenges, at our lessons, as things we master in order to achieve our goals. But the most important lessons in life sometimes have to do with what happens when we fail. How do we know when to surrender and walk away? How do we judge our own part in our failures? Is it something to learn from, or just bad luck? And how do we pick ourselves up again afterward?" Leia looked back toward the horizon where she knew the palace lay. She remembered standing at Kier's grave, head held high, her false promise to him heavy in her heart. The wind whipped around her and her mother, reminding them that the mountain would only welcome them for so long. Soon they'd have to descend. "You're learning the most powerful lesson of all, my daughter," Bria continued. "You're learning how to fall." Kier had said that. Leia had realized it was important even then. But it was one of those truths that couldn't be understood until it had been lived through. Until you finally fell.
Normally, of course, I'd have gone with something more festive in a gold, or perhaps red.
2V whirred around Leia, straightening the long skirt.
But given everything, suffice it to say, silver is formal, elegant, and flattering. You look lovely.
That was as close as her droid could come to acknowledging Leia's grief. She was more moved by the gesture than she would have thought. Thanks, 2V. Glancing to one side, she saw the bare spot on her mantle, where her keepsake chest had always been. Until late last night, when she'd given it to her father as a sign that she considered her childhood over. Many heirs to the throne gave up their keepsake chests at the point of investiture, but the ritual didn't demand it. Leia had simply known it was time. The hardest part about handing it over had been letting go of that lock of Kier's hair, that one small part of him. At least it would always be contained within the chest as one of her greatest treasures.
"I'll take good care of this," her father had promised,
in a tone of voice that made her wonder, yet again, what he'd meant. The far-off fanfare echoing through the corridors alerted her that she was running late again. Leia turned to allow 2V to fasten a broad collar necklace, then straightened. Time to go. Once more, she took the shortcut through the old armory, full skirt billowing around her as she ran. At least today, the weather had decided to do its part. Brilliant sunlight streamed through every window, and she knew the throne room would glow with multicolored prisms from the stained glass. She felt not happy exactly, but as close to it as she'd come since Kier's death. Conflicting emotions still swirled inside her when she thought of Kier. She suspected they always would. In the first days after his death, she'd tried to swear she would never fall for anyone again, though the reasons for that promise shifted and twisted in her mind. Because she couldn't trust anyone completely. Because she didn't deserve to find love after what happened to Kier because of her. Because she didn't know how to bear another loss like this. Her promise to herself had become more realistic. "Not until my work against the Empire is over," she told herself. "After the struggle is over, then maybe... maybe I will meet someone else I can care about. Until then, I fight." When she hurried into the antechamber, the guards straightened and smiled. The way they smiled at her had changed, though. What she saw there was less like the adoration she'd been granted since childhood, more like the respect given to her parents. Leia knew to be proud of that, and she was. But in some ways it felt like a loss. The person she'd been before, the happy young princess, was gone. A beautiful part of her life had ended. She could mourn that while still being prepared to move on. After months of strengthening her arms and back through pathfinding, Leia found the Rinden sword didn't feel so heavy anymore. Holding it aloft, she waited for the next fanfare and... The velvet curtain was pulled aside. Leia walked into the throne room, up the long aisle, toward the dais where her parents waited. Both her father and mother were garbed in pure white, which seemed all the more dazzling amid the sun-dappled shine of the room. As Leia went, she recognized friends standing on either side of her. Mon Mothma, who gave her a small nod, and Rhes Baton, who looked too bowled over to react, and Chasselin Stevis, who winked. Very near the front stood Emmeline Holdo, whose hair had been dyed glittery blue, but who wore a simple dark green dress, at last striking a balance. Standing before her parents, though, that moved Leia in a way she hadn't been fully prepared for. The pale color of their garments highlighted the long silver streak in her mother's hair, and the salt and pepper tones that had crept into her father's beard. Declaring her right to the throne inevitably meant acknowledging that someday her parents would be no more. The formal language of the ceremony came through in her thought. May that day be long in coming. Her father started the ceremony this time.
Is this our daughter? Come before us once again.
It is I, Leia Organa, Princess of Alderaan. Bria had the next line.
When last you stood before us, you swore to undertake challenges of mind, body, and heart. This you have done.
Leia gripped the hilt even more tightly.
How do you judge me, my mother and queen? I judge that you have completed your three challenges with great strength and even greater spirit. In all ways, you have proved yourself worthy.
Gesturing for Leia to step closer, Bria rose from her throne. As Leia ascended the dais to join her parents, she held the Rinden sword aloft in one hand. Bria reached up to clasp the hilt along with her. Two rulers, not fighting over the symbol of power, but sharing its weight. Then it was time for Leia to let go and sink to her knees, bowing her head as her father stepped closer. At the edges of her peripheral vision, she glimpsed the glitter of jewels, but she had to keep her face down. Then the weight of the heir's crown settled on her, fitting neatly into the nest of braids Tuvi had prepared for it. Even though Leia had waited all her life to wear this crown, the reality of it moved her more than she would have dreamed possible. For Alderaan, she thought, promising both Kyr and her parents to take good care of what she was being given that day.
May all those present bear witness, Bria cried. My daughter is hereby invested as Crown Princess, heir to the throne of Alderaan.
Applause and cheers filled the room as Leia rose to her feet and turned to face the crowd. Her parents stood on either side of her, beaming with pride. More pride even than many of their guests could know. Through the stained glass windows, Leia could catch glimpses of the beautiful planet that she would someday rule. My parents, Leia thought. My friends. My world. These are the things the Empire can never take away.
This is Saskia Merleveld. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars, Leia, Princess of Alderaan, by Claudia Gray. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Nick Martorelli. Star Wars, Leia, Princess of Alderaan, is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, and registered or trademarked where indicated. Copyright 2017. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music master production copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Penguin Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.